So we're wrapping up our Start Fresh series today. So I just wanted to just do a quick review of the last two Sundays, just to kind of see where we've been. Last week we looked at that idea of true worth and value and where we need to get ours from, and looking at the different places of where people get those, and ultimately we need to get it from our Heavenly Father. That first week we looked at that idea of a clean start, that the truth of all of humanity, every one of us sitting here, were that we were trapped in the dirt of sin and had a desperate need for the cleansing that came by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, so that we can truly be clean and free from the power of sin. Today might feel a little bit like week one, but here's the thing. Week one's focus was on that big cleanse, right? So before and after the cross, you were trenched and trapped in sin. You accepted Jesus Christ. His blood cleansed you, and God made you something anew. And so it was that cleaning. This week's a little different because we all know that on a regular basis, we still choose to rebel against God. We still choose to sin. But we have to understand that the truth of the matter is a non-believer that sins is vastly different than a believer that sins. And I think you're just like, oh, you know, I've accepted Christ. Why am I still sinning? But it's a different thing. We have been made new. And so the way we sin versus unbelievers, it might look the same, but there's a heart issue. And so we know that struggle because we live it out. We know the things that we should be doing. We know the things that we shouldn't do. And I think Paul nails it in Romans 7. And this is one of the harder scriptures to read without stumbling, but here we go. We'll give it a shot. Romans 7, 15 through 20. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Did you catch that difference? Again, when I become a believer, it's no longer me that's sinning. It's that, you know, part, that sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. Again, here's that before picture, the humanity of us. Only when Christ comes and lives within us are we something new. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. Okay, so a non-believer that chooses to do right is an act of will. It's not out of the core of who they are. It's just they're choosing. So it's an act of will. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. For if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So we see this separation. We see Paul understood this struggle. And again, I don't have to sell it, because every day we live this out. And again, even though we are free from sin, we are free, praise God, from its ultimate result, it doesn't tell us that we still shouldn't be fighting against it. And that's really kind of the point of today's sermon, that this living this Christian life is all about choosing to follow him every day, every hour, every minute. And so that's, because here's the reality of our situation. On any given day, look at 1 Peter 5:8. Discipline yourself, keep alert, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around you looking for someone to devour. Here's the truth of the matter. Yes, we've come to faith. Yes, we're a Christian. But we all are smart enough to realize that there are times that we are very strong in the faith. We are close to God. We're living in obedience. We're in his word. We're allowing that. And then there are times in our faith that we get away from it. We get weakened in our faith. And guess what? Satan's going, you're a bigger target, right? We're not putting on our armor. We're not doing those kind of things. And this is a very poignant illustration because, again, I've talked about this before. If you've ever watched a show, the lion picks off the weak from the herd. But the real part of this verse I want you to notice is those first two words, because it tells us to discipline ourselves. Discipline. This means developing habits of faith. And I was reading a book that had nothing to do with sermon prep, but a stat jumped out at me. There was a study done by Duke University that shows that 40% of what we do on a daily basis has nothing to do with the decision you make. It's merely habit. We go into that automatic mode and we just do what we got to do. Our brain has it figured out. It doesn't have to exert extra energy. We've been there before, so it just kicks into that automatic mode, and so we just do it. So if this verse is telling us that we need to discipline ourselves daily, then I believe that we can form godly habits as well. Again, our knee-jerk reaction to things as we come across, as we grow our faith, developing our faith. And so for the rest of it, we're going to be looking at some of those places that the Bible kind of shares those kinds of things. So here's the first verse I want you to consider, or verses. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. We need to daily deal with our anger, okay? So there are times some of us might be more angry personality-wise or whatever. Some people aren't very angry at nature. I think sometimes there are people that are way angry, but you never see it on the outside because they just don't show that emotion. That's not talking about this. This is that talking about that inner just angst and everything that goes with anger. And it says, again, do not let the sun go down in your anger. This is a very practical component of the faith. Number one, mental and physical health issues, right? We know that anger, if it's not dealt with, definitely will mess with your emotional state. But also, depending on how it is, it's a physiological thing. You can carry it, it can affect your digestion, it can affect all sorts of things. And number one, the second practical part of it is telling us to do it at night. Why? Have you ever tried to get a good night's sleep when you're really torqued at someone or dealing with someone? How does that work for you? Not very well, right? We just keep replaying that thing in our minds. We're going, I should have said this, this, and this, and I should have done that. And man, part of you wants to go back so you can do it better and really nail that, right? We get in this. And so God says, look, before your head hits the pillow, you need to cut that stuff free. You need to give that to me. I would tell you that it's probably harder to have a fresh start in the morning if you didn't deal with your junk at night. It's better. I know some of you aren't morning people, but you know if you get a really good night's rest, morning has a whole different perspective to it, right? You're like, man, I got a great night's rest, and it affects your whole day. But if you've struggled with something throughout the night, morning comes and you are not happy at all. You want to curl back into bed, cover your head, and just ignore life. So it starts in that evening. Now, this is specifically talking about anger, granted, but I also think that there's other junk in our lives that God is going, you were never meant to carry that. In the next 3-4 weeks, I'm thinking anxiety and worry. Come on. So if we can get ourselves in the habit before our head hits the pillow, just going, Lord, I can't do this anymore. All right, whether it's anger, whether it's angst, whether it's whatever, just to put it, guess what? God can handle your stuff. God is big enough. And then just go, okay, I don't want to carry this anymore, and truly give it to him. And then it affects our starting fresh in the morning. Because here's the point I don't really want you to miss in this verse. Do not make room for the devil. If you are carrying anger, anxiety, extra stuff that God says in his word over and over and again, that's not what you're supposed to do. Are you truly focused on God, his goodness, his plan, his trustworthiness, his faithfulness, and all his stuff? No. And so if I'm carrying this extra stuff, Satan's like, I got you. Right? He knows your button. Right? He knows. And again, for those of you that tend to be worriers, I told Beth this. Okay, for the next 4 weeks, we need to commit to each other to limit our news and social media. Because if you want your spirit to just be destroyed, and let's not even talk about the stupid information out there. You know, you can read both extents. You know, I got to the point, I'm like, Beth, we got to do this. And then 5 minutes later, I'm on my phone, right? It's an addiction component. You want to see. But there is so much better things we can be filling our brain with. Do not let room for Satan. Again, Satan is looking at this thing facing our country, and he's rubbing his hands together. He is salivating because he is going to fan the flames of fear and angst, even within the church walls, right? This is an opportunity for your witness and my witness to shine. Not to be like, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm going to do whatever. No, but within wisdom, saying, The Bible says there's going to be times of trouble and tribulation, but we can worship because God's still on his throne. God is still in control. As I prayed this morning, God can turn anything to good for those that love him. And so at night, we really just have to continue to put that stuff, and when we pick it up during the day, unload it on the Father, and so we are not letting Satan play with our emotions and giving us perspectives which change into motives. And all that. We know this, right? This is just multiplied tenfold. Most of us have gone through stress. Again, this is unheard of as a country. We don't know. The truth we do know, again, is made available to us, and we should be turning that to us. So don't make room for the devil. Now, another important biblical aspect I truly believe goes hand in hand, we see in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So for me, it's really that same vibe as don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if you are not willing to forgive people, if you are holding grudges, you are holding on to something that God has told you that's not what you want to do. So it goes right back into giving the devil a foothold in your life. And there's a part of this verse in our humanity I think feels a little harsh. Because it's like, God, I'm doing the best I can. God's going, well, if you're not willing to forgive, neither am I. And so if we think of it in that mind, we're like, man, God is serious about this. But I think it goes deeper than that. Because I think if we don't forgive, I think in our heart of hearts, we truly don't understand forgiveness at the deepest level. Forgiveness is a two-way street. If you don't recognize how much forgiveness you need, then obviously you can't give it away. We are all in, come on, we are in huge debt to God for all the forgiveness that we need. It's the deepest part of our hearts. And again, I don't think if we understand forgiveness, when you are giving someone else forgiveness, it's on you. You are cutting yourself free from the burden. You're putting that person in God's hands and to carry all those things. And here's the thing, I understand. There are some of you that have had like just deep, deep wounds. There are things that have happened. That's where I think this idea of the fresh start every morning, you know, when you roll up in the morning, you might have to forgive that person again. That's different than being unforgiven. As that thing pops back up in our head, it's once again, we have to go through that thing. But I will tell you, if you are faithful in that and you continue to forgive that person, God does his work in your heart. And eventually he'll bring healing and whatnot. And maybe you only have to forgive that person every other day. And as time goes by, maybe it's once a week. But you are not a prisoner to that anymore. For me, when I look at a verse like that, it's the spirit of the thing, right? If God knows if you're trying to work through your stuff, that's not what this verse is about. This verse is about going, I will never forgive that person. Then can you truly accept the forgiveness that God offers you? But this whole idea of fresh start every morning isn't just about giving God. Again, those are things I think we do the night before so that our head can hit the pillow and we can truly sleep in what God, that grace and the peace that God wants to give you. But then in the morning, I think there are those things that we need to accept those things that God is willing to give. And I believe a great place to start is something that you already said this morning, and this is Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray this every single Sunday, and if you're like me, quite often I can flip right through there and say it and not even have my mind rest on that spot at all. But I think when we're looking at this idea of that new start every morning, I think this verse has a lot of lessons for us, and there's almost a message in each and every word. So let's start, bread. So this is one of those, and again, we read that and we're thinking, okay, this is pretty cut and dried, right? But not a lot of interpretation being needed. Well, I'll tell you that this is actually one of those that uses really rare original language, so scholars do not agree fully on what this verse is saying. But I don't think we have to go down a scholarly rabbit hole here. I think we can look at the implications on the simplest of terms. And so what can bread indicate? Well, number one, we realize the food is the obvious one. I think not too far jump from that is just daily provisions. There are things that we need as humans on a daily basis to be able to survive. And then I think the idea of spiritual food. And I think it's okay to kind of read this into this because there are other places in God's word that talks about those specific things and God wanting to meet our needs. I mean, my word, Jesus Christ called himself the bread of life and living water. In spiritual, the bread component of the things that we need. In short, what this is God is giving us, and we are asking, right? We're asking God to give us what we are truly in need of. Now notice, we don't tend to think of bread as a luxury. That's built within here, right? So when we say give us our daily bread, we're just asking for the little what we need daily. We're not asking for the Lexus. We're not asking for the lake home. That's not in give us this day our daily bread. It's give this, right? What I need. I forgive you. Then it says, this day and daily. Notice we're not asking for bread next week, next month, next year. We're simply asking for today. I think this gives us this perspective that we are to daily seek God and just walk with him, to trust him for today. And I don't think it's an accident that a month ago, 2 months ago, that this concept was going to land on today, because this verse would have preached differently a week ago. This idea of just daily. We think we know what tomorrow looks like, but who knows? We might think we know what next week looks like, but at this point, we don't even think that. We're just along for the ride. And yet, to go and ask God and say, Lord, whatever today is, whatever I face. Number one, I think in our little human minds, we can grasp this a little easier. I mean, what does eternity look like? What does our future look like? I mean, when I was young, I couldn't even imagine me being 48. That was beyond, 48. That was way down the pipe. Now I can't believe, what does 70 look like? You know, and some of you there are going, yeah, it comes fast. I don't know. You know, so look, day to day, none of us are promised. I prayed that as we prayed before service. We understand that none of us are promised tomorrow on a regular basis. Now it just seems more real, right? It's that. But just this idea of daily, Lord, just today. And then we see what? Give. Notice we're not asking God to sell it, barter it, or whatnot. This is a gift thing. When we go to the Father, we're handing out our hand, asking God to simply give it to us. And because of God's amazing love, what is that? This is a part of the Lord's Prayer, right? When the disciples asked, how do we pray? This is what Jesus told them. To go to the Father and say, would you please give me this? Again, my spiritual food, my provisions, what I need for today. And when we understand that this giftedness, this is this great reminder and perspective to be grateful, but also be generous. I'm not hoping any of you did it, but toilet paper hoarding, are you kidding me? It boggles the mind. Good, we're laughing at it, except if you are a hoarder, you're sitting here going, oh, Pastor Todd, if he only knew. If you are hoarding and the church people are suffering, we believe you're going to come to the aid of the rest of us. I'm waiting for that phone call. Pastor Todd, I know you suggested I would let you know, and I don't need anything big, but the TP is running low, all right? So I don't know what the church supply is, so I guess we'll play. But, you know, here it is. God, even in the midst of this, God has been so good to us. He has blessed us with so much, and again, I think we are going to have opportunities to be generous. I don't know what that looks like, but again, to give. And then finally, this is something we skip over quite often. Have you ever considered why we weren't taught to pray, give me my daily bread? Give us? It's built within that we're supposed to do this life thing together. This is a huge reminder about standing and praying and being together. This speaks of compassion. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of charity with one another. Again, what a huge reminder for us today as we go into. So don't be hoarding your toilet paper. Share it with your church folk, right? But again, us, as we move forward, don't just pray that your family's healthy. Pray bigger than that. There's power in prayer. The us, we can't get away from us. And so again, you're never going to look at this little verse the same ever again, because there's huge truths that God wants us. And again, every day, Lord, give this gift to me. Not only me, but the people in my life, my church family, what I need for today, my food, my present, my spiritual food, all those things, I'm going to trust you in it. God asks us to pray this way. And as we ask that, God is our good Father who's willing to give us our portion. And so as we start every day, I would ask that, you know what? As we ask this, God opens our eyes and our hearts to receive what God has for us that day. And here's the great thing about this concept. Just like manna, okay, the Old Testament idea that manna was new every day and you couldn't store it for the next day, God was teaching them a lesson. God's daily spiritual bread is new and fresh every day. God doesn't give you day-old bread, right? The Dutchman in us are okay with buying day-old bread because it's cheaper. But it's not the same, is it? Right, when you can get a fresh loaf and you tear it open and it's still warm, and that's what God wants to give each and every one of us. He knows exactly what? This Monday, you're going to need something different than you did last Monday. The provisions he gave you last Monday are not the same as that, right? And so that's why we seek God on this daily basis. Then I want to show you just one last thing again, that this idea of what God wants to bring into our lives. So Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Our attitude in the morning, I believe, will often determine our day. I think we know this. Inherently, we know this. How we get up and get rolling is going to affect. And I, you know, we work with teenagers. We work with, you know, and I also, you know, if somebody whines, I'm like, you know, you often find what you're looking for. What your perspective is will affect what you receive, what you notice, right? So if you tend to be a negative person, guess what you're going to find? In these next 4 weeks, I'll be praying extra for you because you're, right? Versus going, you know what? This is an opportunity for good people to stand up. This is I honestly believe that our country might have, if people so choose, a unity that we haven't experienced. You know, the basic, guess what? The virus doesn't care if you're liberal or conservative, or a Baptist or Presbyterian or Muslim, doesn't care, right? We're in the same boat at a certain date. So just break this down, new every morning. Again, this is such a powerful concept I want you to grasp. And again, I don't think it's an accident that this sermon is falling on today. I think God wanted us to grasp this thing. New every morning. God knows what we're going to face, and he's willing to give us this. But then look at the rest of this verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. No matter what this looks like, no matter what your life looks like, no matter if you're dealing with good things or bad things or whatever, it never changes how God loves you. You hear it on a regular basis here, but I don't think this is something that you can ever hear too much of, right? So new every morning to understand it as you wake up. You know, maybe the people around you, you're having it. Maybe your family's cut you off or whatever. God loves you every. I mean, just that reminder to wake up and know what your worth is last week and that God loves you with an incredible love. Just that perspective should help us be able to get out of bed. His mercies never come to an end. Praise God. Again, I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a Christian that sins, but am I happy that every morning God gives me a fresh slate, that if I said, Lord, I blew it again today, these are these things, he forgives, and I can start that next morning going, all right, we're back at it. God loves me. I have a new opportunity to follow him. Maybe I won't blow it as bad as I did yesterday. His mercy, never end. You can't outrun them. That doesn't mean that you're like, oh, I'm going to sin anyway because it doesn't matter because God's mercies never end. Your heart's in the wrong place. You better pray about that. But again, it frees us up. I talked last week. God doesn't want you bogged down with shame and with guilt. That's not his intention for you. So that idea is his mercies never come to an end. And then, again, one that we better cling to, again, great is your faithfulness. This is always true. God is always faithful, regardless of the things that are swirling around us. Again, he is on his throne. This did not surprise him. This does not shock him. What we're going through does not change his faithfulness toward us. Every morning, we need to be reminded of his love, that we get to fresh start and God is faithful as we move forward. But I don't want to just end there, because I think the next two verses are just as good. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Hope, right? As God is my portion, as I take him, right? That spiritual food, whatever God wants to give me for the morning, that portion, it's going to be enough. And so I trust in that. I put my hope in that way more than anything that's swirling around me. And then the hard part of this for us, all right, the Lord is good for those who wait for him. We understand that God's timeline is not ours, right? And there's going to be moments in the next few weeks where you're going to go, especially those of you that are trapped at home with a bunch of little ones, our prayers are with you, all right? I'm thankful that Ty, I can just send out, right? And he's not hard at all anymore. So, and the other two are off on their own. So I get it, right? But those who wait and seek. So in the midst of all of this, I loved it. Somebody, again, okay, social media, I was on it. But they said, look at all the things that aren't canceled. Family time, reading, music, walks. What if God is going to use this to draw us into solitude that we haven't had in a while? A time to quiet our souls, to actually hear him. Because we live in a busy, hectic world that makes it hard for us. What if God's carving out time because he just wants to spend some time with this kid that he loves well? That they can't take. You might have to go into a room in your house away from your family members, but you can find that somewhere along the line. To hope, to wait, to seek. Here's the truth. God loves each and every one of you with an amazing love. His desire for you is that you live fully in him, in his mercy, his grace, and his fullness. He knows what the rest of today looks like. He knows what tomorrow looks like. He knows what every one of your remaining days look like. We can trust him with all of it. He never intended you to carry as much as we do. He is willing to shoulder the load for us if we let him. I'm encouraging you, even more so again, looking at the next several weeks, every night cast that junk on him, let him take it, and every morning take up all that he has for you and start fresh.